Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you.
Okay, who's sweating? We someone gave you a free gym session this morning. Right, kids, can you remember what we did last week? Yes. Okay, we did a lesson about Jacob and Jacob and Esau. Okay, so today we're going to look at that in a little bit more detail, but I first want us to recap a little bit. For the parents here, we are journeying through the Bible and we've been looking at Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so, kids, who can tell me what was the three, Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, what were they called? Who can tell me? What were they called? Annabelle? Yes, that's right. The patriarchs of our faith. Okay. Good job, Annabelle. And who can tell me three things that... Another two things, sorry, that they all had in common, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Kids, anybody? Jacob? Yes. Kom vorentoe. Wil jy vir ons sê op die mikrofoon? Okay, sê vir my. They were the firstborn. Jacob was the firstborn. So it's the same. They're the patriarchs of our faith. But something else that they also have in common is that they, all three, shared the same covenant with God. Because they were the first in faith, God made a promise to Abraham. He made the same promise to Isaac, and he made the same promise then to Jacob. And who can tell me what that promise was? That they will be the father of many nations. Yes, amen. And that all nations will be blessed through them. Okay, and then Jacob, he's traveling through a land because he and his brother Esau had a falling out. See, he stole the birthright. And now Jacob was fleeing for his life. And remember, he had to camp over because it got dark, kids. So then, what did Jacob see when he slept with a stone under his head? Joshua? Okay, he answered, he said he saw a ladder going up from earth to heaven and angels going up and down the ladder, ascending and descending. Very well, Joshua. Good job. Okay, let's read about the story a little bit more. Can we have Genesis 20 up, 28 verses 14 to 22 up, please? Okay, verse 14. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and the east, to the north and the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. So, kids, I want to know from you, when God makes you a promise, does he expect you to carry out everything that is necessary for that promise to come to fulfillment? Does God just leave you and say, here's the promise, you go? I see some heads shaking. Is that a no? Can I hear a no? No. Okay, God doesn't do that. You see, when God makes us a promise, he says to us that he will be with us and he will make sure that he will be with us until his promise is fulfilled. So that's the promise that God made Jacob. And that's the same promise that we have in Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus went to the cross just before, he said, and I will be with you till the very age. So God just didn't just promise us salvation. He said that he will be with us until that salvation is one day fulfilled. Amen? Okay, further on we read verse 16. So just before we do that, what I want to say is it's dependent on our response to the promise of what it looks like. So when Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is surely the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone that he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar, poured oil on top of it, and he called that place Bethel, meaning the house of God. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God will be with me and he will watch over me on this journey that I am taking, and he will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's household, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, Lord, I will give you a tenth." Meaning Jacob promised to tithe to God. You see, a lot of times we read a story, and if you read the scripture at first, you tend to think that Jacob was merely taking a chance on God. Like, if God will do this for me, then I will do this. You know, like a tit for tat thing. We get negative vows sometimes, like, "God, you have to do this for me, then only will I do this." But that's not true. That's not true about this story. You see, Jacob was understanding God's promise. Because of his father, Isaac, and what God did in Isaac's life, and Isaac told Jacob about what God did for Abraham. So he already knew who God was, and so he could believe in the promise. So what does Jacob do? He takes the stone, he puts it on a pillar, and he worships God by making an altar. And then Jacob prophesies what his response to God is going to be. So he says that if God is going to do this for me, if God is going to take care of me and feed me and clothe me and bring me back to my father's house, surely I'm going to build a church for him and I'm going to give him a tithe. Amen? And then he leaves a landmark to know exactly where he needs to plant that church. Isn't that amazing? I bet you never thought about it that way. So what we learn from Jacob is when God makes us a promise, we first need to worship God, for he is the source of our promise. Amen? And then we need to act on that promise by believing it through faith, which is an action. So faith is an action. Can everybody say that? Faith is an action. Amen. So kids, a lot of you here have gone through some things last year and you trusted God for some breakthroughs and some things. And we said that we're going to do some testimony. So I'm going to give the opportunity, if any of you want to come and share with me or with the church, if you want to come share your testimony. You want to come? Okay, come, Jock. Tell us, what did God do for you?
Where we did live, we moved here. Then we couldn't go to church because there weren't a church. But then we moved here. Now the school is very better and we can come to church.
Amen. God makes a way where there's no way. Anybody else? Come, kids. Don't be shy. Okay, I've got some notes that they left me, those who didn't want to talk. Okay, this is from Annabelle. "At the end of last year, September, our family moved to Cape Town. We missed them very much. We wanted to go visit them, and my mom and dad said that the only way that we could go is if we pray and ask Jesus to make a way for us. We did not stop praying because we really wanted to see our family. And then at the end of November, Jesus made it possible. So we went to Cape Town on holiday to visit our family. From Kimberly. I was 6 months old when I was born. I was an early baby. If they did not take me out of my mother's womb, my mom would have not survived. God made a way for us all. Not only 5 years later am I healthy, my mom went for an operation and the doctor said that my mom would not be able to walk again. We believe Jesus and not the doctors, and now she is walking and running. Faith to God. Amen. Kids, anyone else? Andrew, what did God do for you?
My nichie, hulle het by die Ooskaap gebly en ek was baie hartseer dat ek nie vir hulle kon kuier nie, omdat ons nie so baie geld gehad het nie. En nou het hulle hiernatoe getrek, so nou kan ek hulle baie weer sien.
Wow. So God answered 2 prayers with 1 testimony, or what if with 1 promise. Amen? Very good. I love it. So God is interested in walking a journey with us. He's interested in making promises and keeping them. The thing is we need to understand how to accept God's grace. And so this morning, I'll quickly want to touch on that fact. And we're just going to look at 4 definitions of the word grace so that we can understand it a little bit better. So before we do that, let me pray. Father in heaven, thank you that by your Spirit and through your Son, we are able to be present and that you are with us, Lord, that you are present as we learn about your grace today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your boldness, your courage, and your everlasting mercy that led us to your overcoming that allows us to partake of this special undeserved gift of grace. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your dunamis power in this place, that you will reveal to those who love you the things of the Lord that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and that no thing has been revealed by your Spirit. By faith we declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you look at the Greek and the Hebrew words of the meaning of the word grace, and you decipher that and you look at all the scriptures of grace, you get to 4 definitions of what the word grace means. And the thing about that is that if you take those words, kids, so listen up, if you just take those 4 things away today, only 4, and you replace those meanings with the word grace when you read the Bible, then you'll get a better understanding of God's grace. You see, the way that God works with revelation is different for each one of us. So some of us love to read the word, and God gives us revelation through the word. Some of us likes to listen to sermons, and God speaks to our hearts through that, through people. Some of us experience God's love in worship, and other times God gives us revelation through his Spirit. So in last year when we started praying for the new year, God really came and and spoke to me about grace and to our family about grace. And what he said is that this year, 2025, will be a year of accelerating grace. And the fact is that I've been seeing it in my life. So God did that. He came and he spoke through his Spirit, and then after that started teaching me the revelation of what he was busy doing in my life. And he's still busy with that. But I'd like to share this with you. So a key scripture that speaks on the depth of God's grace is Ephesians 3, verses 18, which says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's children should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep Christ's love is for us." Highlighting the vast, immeasurable nature of God's love, and it's often interpreted as the depth of God's grace for us. So the first definition that we will look at is unmerited favor. So when I was praying the one night for this message, God stirred something in my spirit and he started asking me some questions. And little did I know that the questions that he was asking me was the four definitions of grace. So the first question that God asked me was, "What do you believe me for?" And so I said, "God, I'm your child. I pray. Most days I make my needs known to you. Do you know what I'm trusting you for?" And then God asked me again, "What do you believe me for?" And see, that has a deeper meaning when we take the word unmerited favor and we replace it into scriptures. So I'm going to read a verse for us. Romans 6:14, please. "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." So let's do a test and we substitute the word grace quickly. "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under unmerited favor." "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under the finished work." Number two. "For you are not under the law, because you are not..." Sorry, "for you, sin is no longer your master, because you are not under the law, but under divine influence upon the heart." Number three. "And for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under God's ability." Number four. Amen. So when he asked me, "What do you believe me for?" he showed me that I am his son. So the scripture says this: "You are his son and his daughter, and you have unmerited, undeserving favor." You know, I love the story about the son that returns. You see, God is always interested in us as sons and daughters. And by that, we have access to his undeserving favor. So 1 Corinthians 1:3, please. So this scripture says that God sees the righteousness of his son when he looks at us. And tell me, if God looks at you and see Jesus' righteousness, will he not favor you as his own son? So John 1:17 says this: "For the law was given through Moses, but by grace your unmerited favor and truth came through Jesus Christ." Amen? So then God asked me another question, and he asked me, are you my son? So remember, this is before I had the revelation of what I have now. So God is asking me, are you my son? Of course, Lord, I'm your son. I worship you. I go to church. I spend time with you. I serve you. And then God started asking me that question over and over and over again. You see, God doesn't know, that God isn't interested in what we're doing for him. God is interested in knowing who we are and interested in us knowing that he is our Father and that he can do things for us. So Romans 4, 13 to 16. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that came by faith. Therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who have their faith in Abraham. See, what Abraham did is he believed God through faith, that God, he will be my God and I will be your people. So Abraham believed that promise, and because of that, he entered into a covenant with God. And that covenant allowed him to accept the finished work, which is Jesus Christ. You see, through faith, he already received Jesus that died on the cross generations forward. He received back then by faith. And so we have also access to that, to receive God's righteousness, Jesus' righteousness, through faith. That's the only way that we can get to salvation. That's the only way that we can receive God's grace. In other words, his finished work. So I'm going to run through some scriptures and I'm going to try to be quick. Ephesians 2 verses 4 to 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace, the finished work, that you have been saved. The third thing that God asked me in preparation to this message is, he said to me, if you would only open your heart to me, if you would only open your heart to me. And that really struck me, because I didn't know what it meant. And after going through the scriptures and after getting the revelation of grace, the Lord really floored me with this. You see, God wants us to open our hearts to him, because a lot of times in life, we try and do things out of our own strength. You know, with life getting busy, us having families, we need to provide for them. We need to have our children ready for school. We need to make sure that they're safe. We need to pray for them and trust that they are in good hands while we leave them at school. Then we need to go and we need to carry on. And we need to go work so that we can provide for them. And then there's other things that life throws to us that we have to overcome. And a lot of times we struggle because we try and do it out of our own strength. Because we're so busy thinking about what we need to do that we forget about what God's heart is for us in the situation that we're in. In the daily walk that we are walking, in the daily things that we need to do for God and for our family. Amen? So I love the story about David. Malachi wants me to read it to him every night. If I open the Bible, I need to get a story real quick, because otherwise he skips to the page of Goliath and David and he says, let's read this one again. See, the thing about David is that God says that David is a son after my own heart. And God really stirred me and opened up a deeper revelation of that to me. You see, if you look at David and the Psalms that he writes, David is one of the people in the Bible that understood grace more than many. He understood God's provision for him. He understood God's finished work for him, that God made a promise and that God will keep it. He believed that God's ability was on his ability. He couldn't do it out of his own strength. And God wrote many psalms to God, saying to God what was on his heart. And so because David spent so much time with God, he started adopting God's heart. He started living the way that God's heart was. And that is why God said that he is a man after my own heart. Not because God simply favored him or God simply loved him, but God started to identify parts of himself, his own heart, in David and in David's heart. So, church, I want to challenge you today. If you would just give him your heart. If you just give him your heart. Psalm 51:10, please. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Those were the words of David. See, he even prayed to God for his heart. Romans 10:10 says this, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. See, church, a lot of times, your mind will be in the way of what God wants for you. We need to move past our limitations of how we think, and we need to start believing with our hearts. Because if God gave you a promise, he will fulfill it. Amen? So from God's perspective, 2 Corinthians 16 verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. I want to say to you this morning, if you find yourself weary, if you find yourself tired in your own struggles, in your own doing and trying to do things by work, I want you to give your heart to God so that his grace can come and lift you up and carry you through that what you're going through. And lastly, God's ability. God asked me the question, what are you willing to give me? And that's always a difficult answer if God asks you that question. What are you willing to give him? And he wasn't merely asking me what I'm willing to give up for him. He was asking me, what are you going to take your hands off in 2025? What are you going to allow me to do in your life in 2025? What are you going to change to be able to live and walk in my grace? Are we willing to surrender control over all the aspects of life that we hold so tightly onto? Are we willing to trust God and pray about things instead of trying to do works to achieve things? Because, church, I know of many, many, many testimonies of how people have received their promise and their breakthrough because they gave it to God and they trusted him instead of trying to do it in their own strength. God intends for us to receive his abundant blessings of heaven on earth today. Not one day when we get to heaven. God has blessings for you right now. Come on. We saw the ladder, and the ladder reached up to heaven. And angels were ascending and descending. What do you guys think the angels were doing? If they are made ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation, you and me, the heirs in Jesus Christ. The angels are busy working when we start praying and believing God to work in our lives. You know, God made this promise to Israel when he made a covenant with them. He said, you will be the first and not the last. You will be the head and not the tail. You will be above and not beneath. You will be blessed in your bread basket and in your kneading bowl. All the fruits of your loin will be blessed, meaning you will be fruitful. You will be the lenders only and not the debtors. And then God comes in the New Testament and God says to us, his new covenant with Jesus Christ is greater than the old covenant that he had with Israel. So how much more blessings do he have in heaven from God that we can pull down to earth every day? Amen. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, please. For you know the grace, God's ability of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet not for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich in everything. I'm gonna close off soon, and then we're gonna partake in communion. So what I want to ask families is that you come forward and join us in communion and take these four revelations of what grace means and come and partake in communion with that for 2025. So I'm first gonna call the parents, and then parents, come and fetch your kids. Please have communion with us, and then we will have a team ready to pray with you. And then after that, I'm going to ask people who are trusting God for families who don't yet have families. God's grace, his ability is here this morning. Come and accept his grace. We have a team that wants to pray with you, please. And then anybody else that is going to come for communion, and if you want the team to pray with you, you're welcome. So before that, I just want to close off and I'm going to look at one more scripture and then I'm going to pray. So Romans 3, 23 to 24 says this, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption of that is Jesus Christ. You see, there's no recipe that you can follow to get to heaven. There's no works that you can do that can get you the righteousness of Jesus. It is only by our faith in believing that Jesus came and fulfilled that promise that God gave us by accepting his grace. So I want to ask this morning, church, can we close our eyes quickly for a moment? I want to ask, if you're sitting here and you've never received God's gift of grace, if you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to give an opportunity to you now. If you could please raise your hand. Or second, if you have fallen from grace by trying to do life in works, by following the law instead of living in God's grace, And I ask that you raise your hand, please. We want to pray with you. Church, let's pray. Can we all stand, please? Every head bowed. Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I know that I cannot save myself, but Lord, by faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation and righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for coming to earth. I believe that you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. So, Father, I thank you that, Lord, that you came to fulfill the law, because you were greater than the law. Father, I thank you that as we come and partake communion in you, Lord Jesus, that we do it in remembrance of you, Father, and that you will bring this revelation of grace into our lives. Thank you for the grace, Lord, that is unmerited favor. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that is the finished work. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that is the divine influence upon our hearts. And thank you, Lord, for the grace that is your ability upon ours, Lord. We honor you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. We're formed to function. Let's be church.